welcome to episode number 15 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host today. I am joined by Megan Sullivan.
Hi.
Dana Jungle Ward.
Hello.
And the apparently invincible Jessica
Heck
Chobot.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm alive.
Do you want to share any details of your...
Yeah.
So did you guys have this happen before you guys recorded last week? So did you know?
Happened on Tuesday of last week.
Oh, right. But you were at Comic-Con. Yeah.
Well, it happened the day before Comic-Con and then I left for Comic-Con. So, So for those of you that might not know, because I know I Twittered and blogged it a ton, but I actually got hit by a car. So the story is on my Vespa. My Vespa is now gone. It was just basically disintegrated at the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
So what happened was it was like a one-lane, two-way street. Mm-hmm. And so I had a green light at this one intersection. I had no reason to slow down. So I was going about 40.
Because it's a green light.
Because it's a green light. Well, it was a solid green light. You know how you can kind of tell, like you're looking to see if it starts to turn yellow. Mm-hmm. And you start to slow down. So I'm looking at it. It's solid. Like I've been paying attention. So I just zoom right through. And of course, as I zoom through and pass through, a guy in the oncoming traffic lane decides that he wants to make an illegal U-turn and pulls out right in front of me. And it was literally like 1 minute I'm looking, he's not there. I blink, there's a car there. Yeah. And I slammed full speed, 40 miles an hour, into the front end of his car.
Oh my gosh.
Flipped over onto the hood, hit my face on the windshield. But nothing's...
I was going to say,
nothing's bad there. Save the moneymaker. landed. I'm like, oh, God, not that. Take anything with that. Landed on my back. And then that's when he stopped. So he threw me off of my back, off the hood, onto the pavement. And I got my legs caught in the bumper.
Oh, jeez.
So, but the good thing is nothing's broken. Nothing, obviously, is seriously...
Amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't believe... I can't imagine
everybody
just how terrifying that would have been.
In the ER was like, we never see anybody walk away from these. And you just did. So you just better thank your lucky stars. I'm like, okay, but I'm Wonder Woman. You know, the big saving grace is the fact that, like, everybody thinks, and I've thought this too. I mean, it took me a long time to buy, like, a motorcycle jacket, but I was wearing a motorcycle jacket which has armor on it for, like, all your joints and your back and stuff. And I thought, well, Vespa, whatever, it's a Vespa. That sucker saved me from some serious problems. And obviously the helmet was a huge help because, you know, my face hit the car and then it hit the pavement and all this stuff. And the only thing that really, really got hurt were my knees because they got caught between the Vespa and the car while I was getting flipped. And so they got really banged up. And
so you're not going to be running around in any skirts for a little what?
You know what?
She posted a picture of her legs on Facebook. I saw it.
And I walked. So I went the next day because I was high on painkillers. I decided, I have no idea. Oh, okay. They just hooked me up for
probably Vicodin.
But it was like a one-day thing because I was in and out of the ER. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically, if you're not dying on their table, they don't want you there. And I was, and I was just hurt. So they sent me on my way, pumped me up with some drugs. And I thought, obviously, like, I was feeling much better than I actually did and that I could manage Comic-Con. And as long as we took it really, really slow and light. And then about halfway on the plane ride is when the painkillers wore off. And I thought, whoa, that's a mistake. But now I'm already here. So so I did walk Comic-Con. So here's the backstory to this. I had bought 2 days or 2 weeks earlier this really nice dress to walk our IGN party's red carpet in our just our party. And I always like to get a nice one for Comic-Con because that's our big party. You know, like we really hold no bars there. And so then I banged up my knees. And what's funny is earlier that morning I had been shaving and I felt like what I thought was a bruise on my leg and I'm like freaking out. And then I go and get my kneecaps bashed in. So now I'm like completely messed up. And I was all upset because I was meeting my boyfriend there and I'm like, we picked out the dress together and I was supposed to be all this fancy princess of the party kind of thing. And I'm all bummed because I look like crap. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm wearing the dress.
Battle scars,
baby. Yeah. I wore the dress to all of our events. And I didn't take it on the red carpet with me, although I bought it because I did actually need it. And I kind of regret that I didn't bring it with me because it would have looked awesome. But I bought a cane with a dragon head on the top of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, I should totally sport this for the Comic-Con party because where else?
Yes.
Are you going to use a dragon cane?
Yeah. But, but I actually, by the time that the parties rolled around, I actually felt significantly better to at least walk and in heels.
Yeah.
Well, he was like, why aren't you in flats? I'm like, you don't wear a dress like this with flats. I don't care. I don't care if I have a broken toe and banged up knees. I'm not wearing flats.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So there is my story.
Yes.
I got to ask, though, after the guy hit you, besides, oops, what did he say?
He actually, well, he didn't say oops or anything. It was really weird. He actually came out and I was in a daze, so I don't totally remember, but he tried to move me, which is a big no-no.
You're not supposed to move a victim.
Yeah,
like
he basically took my legs and pulled them off his car, and I was screaming, don't touch me. And so that's a huge no. And then apparently, now I don't know, and I'm not saying anything because I wasn't really with it, but I was lucid enough that a crowd had gathered because we had tons of witnesses there.
Yeah. Where did it happen?
It happened on Post and Fillmore in San Francisco.
Oh man, yeah.
So we had a bunch of witnesses, and a guy walked over, and I heard him turn to the guy that I think was the one that was in the car and say, "It's not funny, dude. Don't laugh."
Oh my god!
I'm pretty sure the guy was laughing. I suspect it's one of those like WTF nervous laughs. Like, you know, you just get like so shocked.
Right.
Like that's just all that comes out.
Yeah.
But I am looking into if he has insurance, because I certainly don't want to ruin the man. But if he has insurance, I'm definitely looking into a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You should. He shouldn't have like moved you either. Like that is
a huge
you
respect. No.
That would have been bad. If he had ruined your spine, that would have been it.
I will say that panic, sometimes you can do the things that you, even when you know you're not supposed to do. I was with my daughter on the playground a couple of weeks back, and it wasn't, like, she likes climbing on the big kid stuff. She's like a year and a half old. Yeah. And we were on a 5-foot thing, and I'm up there on the stuff next to her, and I'm like, oh God, playground equipment is terrifying. It's like so tall. These little kids are climbing all over. They can fall off. And I'm like, oh, what do I do if she slips and falls? And as I'm thinking it, she slipped and she fell and landed on her back 5 feet down. And like, I knew, like, you're not supposed, but like, I couldn't, like, I ran down and I picked her and I was just like, I mean, and it was all fine, but I'm not saying it was
reaction.
The wrong thing to do, but
it's just reaction.
But I did the same thing myself.
I mean, it's hard to know how to react to that,
especially
situation.
If you're there, like, you're able to articulate, don't.
Oh, I was articulating it real loud. I promise you. Actually, it's funny. My sister called me after I had to call my mom and listen to her cry on the phone forever. My sister called me and she's like, so, given your disposition, did you try to hurt him? And I'm like, no, Nikki, I wasn't really able to move yet, but I was thinking about it. And there was something else I wanted to say that was actually kind of funny, but I forgot what it was in regards to it. Well, maybe I'll think about it later. Oh, I wish I remembered. Oh, well. Say hello.
All right. Yeah.
So, well, we're glad you're
fine.
Here with us.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you. Me too.
And you might very well be Wonder Woman. Who knows?
I know. Or like Unbreakable.
Yeah.
You know, like the movie. I don't even know until Major Disasters and I come out walking out of it.
So before we get started, we got a couple of announcements. If you haven't been on IGN yet today, my IGN has launched.
Yes.
Which is our new social network type thing on IGN. It's pretty cool. You can follow games on there, and then when you follow games, you will automatically get updates whenever we update with articles. You don't have to go search for them, which is really cool. And you can follow the editors, you can post blogs. Very, very cool. It's still in beta, so, you know, don't be too cruel at this point. But there is a feedback form that you can fill out and send for suggestions for improvement and if you're having problems. So you should definitely check it out.
And there's also a lovely banner rolling at the top of the page
with
Jess and then Fran and
Scott
all,
Brumley,
all enticing you to follow them.
To follow us.
Yeah. So just so everybody knows, my username on there is WTP Nicole. Megan is?
Megan, MEGHAN-IGN.
Jess, JESS-IGN.
Okay.
Mine is, I signed up for mine before, like, I had any, it's DJONGEWA. I may change it. I may just start a new one and get them to
Rock
read it. Dana.
My sock
source. Yeah, exactly. Dana-IGN. I don't know. Yeah, no, but that isn't what it is right now. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. So that's those are our usernames on there if you want to search for us.
Maybe we'll post them maybe on Facebook or something.
Yeah, we can post them on Facebook too. And then one more announcement for those of you who are in the San Francisco Bay Area. IGN is going to be having a meet and greet party next week, August 4th at 21st Amendment,
We just found out today.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a bar on 2nd Street in San Francisco. It's just a block away from our offices. And that is going to start at 4 p.m.
Ooh, my mom's going to be in town. Maybe I'll have her come with me.
So if you've ever wanted to meet Jess's mom,
come out.
It's also my birthday week. So come by and say hello.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
And buy me lots of drinks.
Yeah. I think it's a sponsored bar.
Yeah, I think IGN is actually paying for the drinks, so you'll have plenty.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Megan.
So come by, check us out. We'll post information about this up on Facebook as well.
What time was that?
Starts at 4 p.m.
Okay, cool.
And we don't know if there is an end. There's probably an end time, but we don't know what it is
right
yet.
Yeah.
When everybody's drunk, that's the end time.
Yeah. Or when IGN decides they don't want to pay for any more drinks.
Okay, what did we say it was again? August 4th.
August 4th at 4.
I'm putting it in my calendar right now.
Okay.
So it's a guarantee Jess will be there, listeners.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't go that far, but it's a 50-50 chance right now. Just because, you know, if mom doesn't want to go, I can't drive
her.
But.
Yeah. All right.
Or can you?
Technically. I probably could.
All right. So those are our announcements. So let's start off like we always do with what we're playing. Megan, you want to start us off?
So I downloaded the demo for Deathspank last night. Mm-hmm. I wanted to download the full game, but my internet connection in my room is spotty at best right now. So I'm going to go home and play that tonight. So I'll let you guys know how that goes. Still slogging my way through Dragon Quest IX, which is a very charming and cute game, but it's kind of having a hard time paying attention. Sort of at that awkward lull of more fetch quests. Done a lot of reading on games lately. I've actually bought a couple of books on writing for video games because we talked about it last week where it's like, you know, who writes for these games? Like, who writes for the BioWare games? Who's responsible for all the cleverness and games like Deathspank and like who does that? So pretty interesting topic if anyone wants to look into it.
Cool.
So that's about it.
All right. Jess?
I actually downloaded and am currently playing Limbo. And
which I've heard is awesome.
It is. Yeah. I'm in love with the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I actually got into a little Twitter debate with some Twitter people, one of which was an ex-IGN employee who always is on a rampage to try and out-nerd me. But about the vibe, from the vibe, I felt that it was a weird combination of like an old school Tool video and Jake's
from the Dark Tower.
From the Dark Tower is like, you know, whole like under the in the caverns. And
right.
Basically Jake's story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told no, that they disagreed, and I was like. You're an idiot. It's right in front of your face. I mean, hello, he traveled the caverns with Roland.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't get much better than that, people. Yeah. Yes, I do. But the thing that irritated me was the hashtag was, try and please play. And I'm like, oh, gosh, Christ. Anyway, I really like the atmosphere. I'm not overly keen on games that are constant trial and error, where it's like, it's not a matter of I mean, it is a little bit, but it's more a matter of trial and error and memorization of what you're doing versus quick thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a little bit of it. There's a few times that I squeezed through a couple of potential traps. But overall, when you get to the puzzles, it's very much like...
Die and learn
and learn and memorize.
Right.
Which I like, but at the same time can get kind of old.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the game's not that long,
right?
So I'm already, I already think I'm on like chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's much more than that.
25.
No, that's not that bad though. Yeah. I mean, you zip through those chapters pretty fast.
Yeah.
Unless you like, really, really get caught on
it's
a
like
hard
one puzzle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Per chapter.
Unless you get really caught on a hard one. So I'm really liking it. I think for the cost and for a DLC and just
how much
very
is
creative.
It?
I think it's what like
12 or 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know. I know that I didn't have enough Microsoft points on it because I had pretty much zipped out my card. So I just bought a bunch and just downloaded. But yeah,
Microsoft does that on purpose. So you don't know exactly how much money you're spending.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I know. But I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, I think it's really cool. How about you, Dana?
So I played a lot of Puzzle Quest 2 on vacation because we did a lot of driving at night. So that was a good thing to do while I was doing. And I have to say, like, I like Puzzle Quest 1 a lot. Puzzle Quest 2 is not that. It just feels more repetitive to me. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's mostly the same thing as the first. I don't know.
Right.
I feel a little more bored by it.
That's how I felt playing it too.
And I'm like, you know, I'll start up another battle and you're like, do I really feel like doing this again? I don't know. Yeah. It's not, I was playing it because otherwise then I was just going to be staring out a dark window, but, but yeah, it wasn't all that. And then I also started, Red Dead on vacation, which is a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying that. My husband and I are actually kind of playing in tandem, and we'll pass the controller back and forth and do that. Mm-hmm. Although what was funny is we were sitting out on our porch last night, and this flock of birds fell overhead, and I like kind of flinched, and I was like, "What was that about?" And then I was like, "Oh, I was like had the instinct to reach for my gun and start shooting." I was like, "Ooh, vulture feathers! I could sell those, get some money for them. Like those are $9 a piece." Yeah, so that was kind of funny. Trying to think. And I gave my old 360 to my mother-in-law because we saw her on vacation. Mm-hmm. She was very excited by that. And she called me, actually, because they were flying back. We were all in Oregon together, and they were flying back. We drove. And she called me right after she went through the security and was like, the security guy, when he was going through and I had to pull out the 360, and he was like, whoa, I've never seen a woman over 50 with a 360 before. And she was so excited. She was like, we're growing in numbers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was very, very happy. So I loaned her some games, including she started playing Halo 3 while we were there. So
very nice.
Wow.
Yep.
Talk about jumping right into the deep end of the pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's fun. Yeah. Cool. So that was fun.
I too downloaded Limbo and played it. I have finished it. I absolutely loved it. Usually I am pissed off by games that make you die and try again. Mm-hmm. But this one, I don't know what it was about it. I didn't mind it so much. I thought it was awesome. And I will just say right off the bat, because I am, if you are arachnophobic, be warned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
There are some really, really creepy spiders in this game. Like, that is one
like
thing
spiders.
That it has mastered is, like, a realistic-looking spider. So, yeah.
It's good,
but definitely very creepy.
Yeah.
What else? I mentioned briefly last week that I had finished Alan Wake and that I was
extremely disappointed.
I'm not going to give any
God,
spoilers.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
Oh, man.
Ooh, interesting.
No. Uh-oh. I already have that. I already got that vibe too. Like I already can tell I might be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that is really funny to me is like whenever I have like a strong negative reaction to a game, I go. I wrote a blog post about this actually. I go on Metacritic and kind of see what everybody else has said.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Wake got 33 different outlets gave it a 9 or better, which is insane to me. Mm-hmm. Like there is no way that game is a 9. I'm sorry. Sorry, Charles. I love Charles. He's very, very nice. He's the one who reviewed it for IGN and gave it a 9. But the art is bad. The gameplay is repetitive.
I don't feel like the art is bad, but I definitely agree with you that it's overly repetitive. Incredibly repetitive.
Let me clarify. The environmental art is really, really pretty and really well done. The characters are horrible. Their lips don't sync when they talk.
Yeah, that's true.
The animations are bad, and that's just not acceptable for this.
For a game they've
generation.
Been working on for
6 years.
6 years.
and the thing that was like made it even worse is right after I finished playing, I went back to Heavy Rain, which is an absolutely gorgeous game with extremely natural looking characters.
Right.
And I was like, wow, what a difference. Yeah. So
interesting.
So yeah. So if you want the full deal in my opinion, it's in my blog post. But it does contain spoilers, warning. What else? Oh, I started playing Lego Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a ton of fun. It's delightful. It's a nice game. It's nice to every once in a while have a game where you don't really have to worry about dying.
Or even think all that much. You're just like kind of like going through and experiencing it. Yep.
Yeah. So
I like the no-brainers every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we've been playing. So we are going to move on to our topic of the week. We've actually gotten lots of reader mail about this. So our topic of the week is digital distribution. And I'm going to point you to an article that came out today written by our lovely but awkward friend, Jim Riley.
Jim Riley.
Yeah, he's endlessly entertaining, though. If you haven't listened to last week's Beyond podcast, I highly encourage you to
Just for Jim.
Just for Jim. Yeah, for what he said. Anyhow, so he interviewed the CEO of GameStop specifically about, you know, their plans for digital distribution and whatnot. And this guy said they're not buying into it wholesale any way, shape, or form. They're going to, you know, stick with the disc model as long as possible. Which isn't surprising to me because that's where they make their money.
I was saying use game sales and you can't sell used copies of digital games.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think that's, I think it's delusional as hell for them to, I don't know.
I'm sure though that they've got a back.
I mean, they're dabbling in it.
They've got to be planning because there's no way that just because they don't want to do it, that it's not going to happen. If anything, everybody will want to.
Sorry. Dear God, that has been there for a long time.
Dear God, Dana. Every week.
I'm sorry.
That actually scared the thought right out of my head.
Did you realize that somebody on Facebook referred to you as Mo? Or not Mo. What's his name?
Barney.
From The Simpsons. I was Mo.
I wish. Yeah. Then I would have beer.
sweet. Anyhow.
What was I saying?
You were saying you should have a plan in place that they're working on, that they're experimenting with ideas.
Because everybody else will definitely, if they get a chance, want to take them out. So they're going to jump on that digital distribution bandwagon, especially if GameStop is dragging their ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can't imagine being a company that they are not... They don't have something in the cooker.
Yeah, they have to have. And you're right. I also, though, can't believe that they aren't talking about it publicly. Because you think back with Netflix. I mean, Netflix very early on was saying, you know, this is going to be the wave of the future. And we are starting to digitize things.
I mean, we've already got OnLive coming. It is already here. Like, there's a lot of people that I know that have the actual betas.
And Xbox Live and PSN and... Steam and Direct to Drive. Sorry, I should have said that the opposite way around.
Yeah, but those are Direct to Drive. Those are more like DLC, whereas OnLive to me is like you're getting the game. This is the first step in. You are buying a game now versus just like downloadable content or extras.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fully, fully supportive of it because, I don't know, I buy so much more music and so many more books now than I do games because... Yeah. I can download it. Like, I'm just finding the time because I'm not anywhere near a GameStop. Well, when I say I'm not anywhere near a GameStop, it's like 2 miles away, but I'm like, oh, then I got to make a special trip over there. And
my thing's less about going because I kind of enjoy that concept of like browsing and like checking everything out and going into the store. Mine, though, is just practicality in an apartment. Like, I'm just running. I'm
running out of space.
Out of space. I have no room anymore for, you know, comics or anime or manga or books or games, or like I'm literally like trying to figure out where to put this stuff.
And all of our CDs, like, we got rid of, I mean, we burned all of those and they're in binders, like and stashed in the back of a closet, like
gathering
we got rid of
dust.
All the cases.
Ours are in boxes in our garage.
I don't know how much longer did you keep the cases, because we even got rid of those because they take up a lot of space.
I've got my cases, but I kind of look at them as more of a nostalgic thing now, where I don't want to throw it away because I'm like, oh, I remember when I bought that.
Right.
Versus, but I do hate the fact that they're just sitting there taking up a ton of space in my closet because that's space that I could be using for something else.
Shoes. Something important. Music isn't important.
Yeah, I'm all for it too. All of my music now is digital. All of my books now are digital because I have an e-reader. So it's games are just...
And a lot of games are, you know, I do download a lot of, I would say I download more games than I buy. And part of that is also by virtue of most of the downloadable games are shorter, and that's just fits in better with how I play right now. But
yeah,
I think it's very delusional for them.
Yeah. So when do we think this is going to happen? I mean, obviously it will.
I say 10 years, maybe even less than that, probably.
I would say within five. Here's really? And well, this morning I had the news on, and I have no idea if this is new technology or not. I have a feeling, actually, that this was probably something that got announced a week or so ago, because KTVU Channel 2 News, not exactly on the cutting edge of tech announcements. But they were talking about this Intel chip, and that Intel is experimenting with ways. Also, my seat is really, I think I have the stupid chair. Okay. Anyway, is experimenting with using light to transmit data, and the chip that they're working on. And they were talking about, and I missed the first stat, but I did hear the second stat, and they're working on something. And they said, if when they can get this thing working, you would be able to transmit all the data from the Library of Congress to somewhere else in 2 minutes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
2 minutes. And once that comes, like once that's the case, and especially with something like light, you're not going to have to wait for an infrastructure to get built. Yeah. Like once something, because I think that's the big thing holding it up. It's like even with a cable connection, like, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I should download StarCraft 2. And you're like, it's going to take like a day to download. Yeah. And so there's not quite the instant gratification that you can get with an album or a book.
I'm literally sitting next to my wireless router, and I'm still having trouble downloading a flash, whatever.
Right.
Like 2 minute long flash video. It just, I agree with you. That's why I'm saying, while I think that they're going to probably invent, or they're working on, let's say that they're successful and they figure this out and you can do that. My thing is extending it to 10 years is because when are you going to make it common for the public?
Yeah, and affordable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 3D, a 3D has been pushed down our throats for what, like two, 3 years now, almost just about. Mm-hmm. And it's you're still right. not common in the sense that everybody's got a 3D capable TV.
How long did it take HD from when it was first introduced? Because that's, I would I say that's pretty that common much. Now.
I think it was a good 3 years, I think.
Was it really?
Released? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
From when the first ones popped up.
But I think, it depends on, I mean, because Google is also experimenting, they claim that they're working on a network that will be 100 times faster than what we work on now. I think it's going to depend a lot. If it's something that requires some sort of infrastructure to be built, then you're right. It's going to take a lot longer to permeate.
Yeah.
As opposed to, if this Intel thing happens and you can just use light.
Yeah. Oh. Well, then I'm also thinking, and I don't remember, I can't remember if they said 5 years or 10 years, but when they're coming out with, let's just say they're coming out, because I really don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like a next gen system for our video game platforms right now, which would probably take that and try and incorporate it. They might push those till, because that's where you would,
right, exactly. Yeah, you don't
why wouldn't you have like an on live situation already built into your PS3 or PS5 or whatever the hell we're on, or
right?
Whatever. Yeah. And 10 years honestly is not that long.
It isn't.
Yeah, it'll fly by.
Yeah, I mean, as far as consoles go, I don't think anybody except for maybe Nintendo has any real reason to rush in the next generation. I think we'll see an HD Wii in the next year or so.
Oh, I'm sure. I would hope so. My God.
But as far as a new PS, new PlayStation or new Xbox, I don't think we're going to see.
No. I don't think there's any need to. I feel no need for a new one. I'm like, the games still keep getting better looking. I kind of feel like once games start like plateauing, then all right, then let's look at the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I stop seeing improvement, noticeable improvement in the video games.
Right.
And also when the entertainment core of those systems, things like Netflix, DLC, Facebook, PS3 being a Blu-ray player, when those things start becoming aged and we're moving into a more hardcore different genre in regards to entertainment tech from that perspective, then I feel like we should move on. Because at that point, right now, they're entertainment. They're like entertainment systems. They're not just games. They're systems of entertainment. And so, you got to look at the age of both those things.
Right.
So, and we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I say 7 to 8, 7 to 10. I'll give it 7 to 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I would probably.
Because 10 seems a bit
thing.
Long. Yeah. Still, but 7 to 10.
What about you, Megan? You've been very quiet.
I'm going to make an unusual prediction. I think there's going to start to be a backlash against all this digital stuff, and I'll tell you why. Because people are getting really isolated, and it's not particularly natural. So, not to be all philosophical, but
so having a disc makes me less isolated.
It doesn't make you go out very much, does it? It doesn't have any tangible qualities. It doesn't allow you to interact with other human beings very well. I mean, people are getting more and more isolated in their apartments, and they download their movies and they download everything. And it's amazing how many people aren't as social anymore. And I think People are tired of phone trees and tired of faceless machines telling them stuff and giving them error messages.
I love that. I know, I do too. Talking to other people.
I used to think that too, but now I'm starting to think otherwise. I actually had to, I'm the victim of identity theft, and I was trying to get through to a person to let them know my story. I couldn't do it. I could not do it at all.
Very
so I think there's, I'm going to make a prediction right here, right now. I think there's going to be a little bit of a backlash against all this digital stuff, and now you never have to leave your house, and you never talk to a person, you never deal with people, and I don't know. It's not a popular prediction, but that is my prediction.
Mm. Well, I definitely think trying to get in touch with somebody when you need help is a pain in the butt. Yeah. When you, all you're getting is like automated phone calls.
Yeah, right. And trying to figure out the magical sequence.
Because it's just somebody basically that they that you know got fired from McDonald's that ended up getting picked up by this one like random situation, and they don't want to do their job, so they're gonna try and make it as difficult as possible to find that person, versus like being proactive and going out and trying to buy something where. With only a credit card, you really there is no real reason to have to go into a GameStop and talk to the kid behind the counter.
Yeah, I would just order it online.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I would go talk to and buy is like, you know, things that you have to try on, like shoes and clothes and, you know, things of that nature. And even clothes I'll buy online.
I won't buy clothes online. Your size is. Yeah.
Well, shirts, maybe not pants. Pants become a problem online.
I've
had some bad surprises. Like, oh my God, I can't even squeeze a leg into this.
But I'm just going to play devil's advocate here with Megan. So many, many more games are multiplayer. So people actually are interacting. It's just not face to face.
I would argue, but that's the thing. That's my point. You're not seeing a human being. You're not in the room. There might be local co-op still, but it's becoming more and more rare. I mean, other games, I mean, even traditional games like Dragon Quest now have multiplayer, and that has to be local. But again, it's faceless. Everything is faceless now. Everything is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, what
who
about
you
things
are.
Like building cameras? I mean, cameras are becoming a more prominent part of.
Yeah,
gaming,
I mean, Kinect's
and,
gonna have that whole
it's
video
not
chat thing.
Tangible. It's not tangible. Mm-hmm. I need you in the room with me. I don't know who you are on the other side. You can be whoever you want. You can put on a wig. You can make up anything you want. I still don't know who you are.
Well,
I need
technically,
to be in the
chat
room.
Roulette.
It'd be awesome.
Oh God.
Never.
No. I was just gonna say, technically, penis. People can put on a wig anywhere.
Well, that is true. Yeah. That is true. I just that's a poor example on my part. But the point is I need you in the room with me. I've worked in this industry for years, but I've always been sort of behind the scenes. So I've talked to people on the phone. I've emailed them tons of times. I've seen their profile picture. I still don't consider them anything but strangers. I need you in the room with me. And I think people are getting more and more isolated. And so you can make technical arguments, but I'm telling you there's something that can't replace actually having people in the room interacting with you. It's just a more intimate, it's a more meaningful experience.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I don't think going out and actually having to buy my media in person is going to change that. I think it's just, you know, you're going to be, I agree that playing with someone online is a whole lot different. And I don't find it as fun as playing with someone who's in the same room with me, but I don't think.
It's because the difference between knowing somebody and not knowing somebody.
Well, so this is kind of, I mean, this is related to the whole digital thing, but as years go by, it's going to be less. I don't think we're going to be buying. It's not going to be games as product. It's going to be games as service. I don't think we're going to be buying games anymore. Often, much like with music, you know, for if anyone who is a Pandora fan, it's like there are a lot of songs that I like in Pandora that I don't own and I don't, you know, and I just listen to the free stream or with Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's like I have access to a whole bunch of movies that I don't own, but I stream it when I want to watch it. And I think online things like on live that's going to. I mean, games are going to go that way as well.
Yeah.
So.
I mean the whole Facebook explosion. Those are all games as service as opposed to games as product. Mm-hmm. So,
but how long can we be a service industry? Eventually, that's always been an argument in economics that you know product versus service. Product is in the long run better than just services. Not to get philosophical, but I wanted to bring the fight to girl fight. Yeah. So here I am.
Good job, Megan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We could be headed for one of those horrible, you know, dystopias that were always predicted
in
books.
I cannot even tell you how much I want that.
Jess is all for chaos and.
I would love to literally do a Ghost in the Shell, plug myself into a computer, and just not be here anymore. That is my ultimate goal.
Not feel my knee pain.
Yes. Hook myself up to a hard drive.
Okay. Cool. So you don't think the digital distribution is going to take over at all?
I think it's being overestimated. I think it has a lot of benefits and it'll be around and won't go anywhere. But I think the more we become sort of dependent on this digital stuff, you know, one day maybe the satellite will crash and then we'll all be screwed and, you know, the internet will go down and what do we do? And I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit like the dot bomb where we're getting ahead of ourselves and we think, oh, it's going to be really amazing. But I think in the end, people are still going to want a tangible product.
That's why you still need to just be sure that you can do a physical skill. The whole internet implodes.
Yeah, exactly.
I can make clothes.
There are so many jokes.
Thank you for not.
Oh, gosh.
Farmville has taught me how to survive.
Yeah.
Now I know how to plant potatoes.
I will have to say planting real potatoes is quite a bit different than it is in Farmville.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. They don't just grow automatically.
Oh, man. No.
My dad loved. Yeah. My dad loved potatoes and loved to grow their own, but then he would make us four kids be the ones to go out and
pick them?
Take care of them, weed them, and pick them. It was awful.
It's like one of the hardest things to grow, too, or to harvest.
Yeah, because you got to dig them all up.
Ugh. Lie to me, Harvest Moon. You lied.
Yeah, it is not just clicking that button.
But the new Harvest Moon for DS is coming out. I'm thrilled about that. If you pre-order at GameStop, you get like a plushy horse.
Yep.
I'm
I thought you were going to say you get some potatoes.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Potato.
I don't want to brag, but I don't have to pre-order because I got the plushie horse at E3.
Zing.
Sorry.
Zing.
And I begged for one for Christine because I just thought it was funny.
You should have just glued a hammer to it and given it to her.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Oh, speaking of Christine, if you guys are wondering why she's not here, she is on vacation. Vacation in quotes. Meaning she's off work, but I don't think she's probably having a ton of fun.
Right. But she is, she is.
Yeah. Right, cool. So anybody have anything else to add on the digital distribution front?
Nope. Let's get to the questions.
Let's do questions.
Sleepy.
I think my medicine makes me sleepy.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm tired too. I didn't get much sleep last night. I don't know what it is. Okay, questions. If you have questions, you can send them to igngirlfight@gmail.com. We answer them in the order that they are received, and if you hear your question not answered, the odds are we've already answered it in a previous episode.
Also, then something that I didn't know till then, but if you
if you send a question to an individual, like just one of us, that's not for all of us, those are getting forwarded to the people to decide whether or not they want to respond rather than reading them on air.
Yep.
So we're trying to cut down on our stack. So hopefully that will help a little bit. Okay, so first question comes from Stephen Barry. Stephen wants to know what our opinions are on the noir genre and if we think it should be more widespread in the games industry.
Yeah, I would be a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I would be a huge fan of that.
You know, Limbo is a wonderful example of
LA Noir coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
With guys from Mad Men as voices in it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah, I like that whole art style genre. Mm-hmm. That I like that dusky mysteriousness.
Yeah.
Well, and I would argue, you know, like the one thing I think games that they're doing a better job with, but that they need to keep diversifying on is just the settings that are used, because there's like just so much fantasy and so much military stuff. And so just new, like going into genres that they don't typically hit. I think that would be awesome. And I really like noir stuff. So, yes. One of my favorite novels is The Big Nowhere by James Ellroy.
Cool.
Oh, there you go. Confirmed.
Awesome. So next question comes from Corey Compton. I've made this mistake many times, so I don't know whether Corey is a guy or a gal. Let me see if he says anything. He, she says in the email. Okay, I'm not going to call them anything. So the question is, do you think we'll ever see a day when someone can proudly state that they are a gamer without feeling like they are being negatively typecast by people with a preconceived perception?
Yes.
Yes, but I think when that point comes, people won't be like, I'm a gamer. It'll just be...
Yeah, it's like we're not like, I'm a TV watcher, although I totally am.
Yeah, I mean, I think games are going to get so mainstream that it's just
one
just something that everybody does. Yeah.
That's what happens.
It's getting better. It's getting better because things like, you know, Guitar Hero and Rock Band and stuff like that, it's sort of seen as kind of cool and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and I would also say that, like, I don't think any of us, that it's a lot easier as a woman to say that you're a gamer, because then you're seeing this kind of, it's like a quirk as opposed to like a, I think guys will often get the, oh my gosh, you're such a teenager, grow up already sort of response. Yeah. And I think for women, it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting, as you opposed know, to, oh, grow up.
There was a funny thing that happened this morning on the way into work on BART. There were two guys standing talking about Call of Duty, like youngish, you know, guys. Mm-hmm. And there were some older men that were just looking at them like they were from Mars. It was it was extremely amusing to just
once
watch
the
that.
Elders die off, and we all become the elders, then we've made a full circle, and it'll all be normal.
Yeah. All right. Next question comes from Gareth. Gareth wants to know what we think of the growing trend of survival horror games becoming more and more action focused.
I kind of am bummed about it. You mean like talking about Resident Evil 4?
Yeah.
I'm a little bummed about it. I'm a huge horror genre fan. Huge. Mm-hmm. And I like it mostly due to story, exploration, and art. Mm-hmm. And those seem to be taking a backseat to run and gun, which bums me out.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the next Silent Hill 2. I had huge hopes that Alan Wake would have been the next Silent Hill 2. And it just even... though I haven't finished it, and not counting what you had said, was already starting to feel disappointed. Yeah. So, I'm just bummed out. That's all.
Yeah,
I have no strong feelings about this topic.
I don't like horror genres. Why not?
Because I'm too chicken to play survival horror games.
Okay, next question comes from Matt. Matt wants to know if we could only play one game forever and ever.
Oh, geez.
What would that game be and why?
Oh,
I think mine would be Animal Crossing, because it's kind of a game that goes on and on and on and on and on.
World of Warcraft.
There you go.
Because it's got a lot of content. You'd have to play a long time before you ran out of stuff. Yep.
I'm going to go with, can I pick three that are tied?
He said one.
Oh, no,
you can't. No, go ahead.
Normally, I would say World of Warcraft, but since you already said it, I'm going to say Shadow of the Colossus, because it was one of the most emotionally driven games that I've ever come across in my life. I don't think I'd ever get over that feeling of, maybe not accomplishment, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away, since they come out with the HD ones soon.
Yeah.
Right.
What about you, Megan?
It is a tie, but between two. One is one I have played over and over and over and over again, which is Final Fantasy IV, and the other is Chrono Trigger. Because it's got multiple endings, and that game is also awesome.
Cool.
So there you go. World of Warcraft is going to be a good choice, but it is sort of smashing one up quickly.
Okay, next question comes from Lentz. Lentz wants us to compare Alistair and Nathan Drake on the three these three following
that's a
characteristics.
I can't do this because I haven't played Dragon Age yet. Oh, well, anyway, go ahead.
Well, there's a picture of him
there. Okay. Oh, sorry. So they're just physical things?
No, they're not. The first one is sexiness. Well, I guess that's not all physical. Sexiness. I
like some humor in my dudes. I'm going Nathan Drake.
I'm going to go Alistair. But Alistair's humorous.
He's funny. Yeah.
I haven't played it.
That's a toughie. So I had an ex-boyfriend that looked just like Nathan Drake. So I'm going to go with Alistair just to change it, just for flavor.
What are the three things that we're basing
sexiness, on? Fighting, and charm.
Interesting. I think sexiness is a close tie. We go with Alistair. Charm is definitely Alistair. And what was the other one?
Fighting ability.
Probably Nathan Drake on the fighting a little bit, because Alistair can be a little hit or miss on the fighting.
Yeah, he can be kind of a baby.
I'm going to flip that around. I'm going to say Alistair for the... Wait, I think what we're doing? Alistair for sexiness?
Fighting and charm.
And fighting, and I'm giving charm to Nathan Drake. Only because Nathan doesn't really... I guess he does fight quite a bit, right? But he's always just shooting things.
Yeah.
He's not like fighting. When I think of fighting, I'm thinking fisticuffs kind of thing.
And he's not as good at that.
He like runs around and jumps on stuff and shoots from afar. That's how I played him.
Yeah. I give him sexiness, definitely, because he always looks to me like a combat, like a cross between David Boreanaz and Nathan Fillion, both of whom I find quite attractive.
All righty. Next question comes to us from Kadeem. Kadeem wants to know what our views are about porn. Do we find it degrading against women? And how do we feel about the women who join the industry?
This is a bad question.
I don't spend a lot of time thinking. I mean, am I personally a fan? No, I don't know. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff in the world I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of 2.5 men either. So I think that's degrading intellectually in the industry. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a wide range of stuff that's out there.
Yeah, that's true. You really got to narrow it down. Like, are you talking hentai? Are you talking, like... scatology, where are we going here? There's definitely ones I would put the no-no on. Have I never looked at porn in my life? That would be a lie if I said that didn't occur.
Here's one thing that I will say is that from my understanding, again, I haven't spent a lot of time reading about women who are in this industry, but it seems like a lot of women get into the industry because they aren't able to break into like legitimate acting, and this is something that, so I don't like it that it seems like it becomes a last resort for so many women.
I don't know if this has been substantiated or not, but I have heard things too that, like, you know, women that have some kind of sexual abuse or something in their past have a tendency to go into the industry because they're acting out and that type of thing. So that's not cool. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's that person's choice what they want to do.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
As long as it is their choice. That's my thing. Yeah. The ones who kind of, it becomes the last resort. They're doing it because they don't feel like they have any other choice.
Yeah, but I mean.
No, I know.
Think there's always another choice.
Well, for me, yes, there would be. Yeah. But.
By the way, guys, that's what you get for asking girls about it. We stay kind of true and serious to the question. Yeah. I'm sure they're hoping for some smart alecky answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that I partake in the porn very much. So, but I know lots of guys enjoy it, and, you know, more power to them. Okay, next question comes from Nikki. Again, it says Nick from the UK. Okay, I assume Nick is a guy then. So he wants us to know name some characters, game characters, that male characters that we think are overly hunky. What's that dude from Gears of War?
Oh, Marcus Phoenix.
Oh, God, any of them.
Yeah. Well, but that's always been, that's Epic's
Marcus
whole
and
thing.
Dom,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a great example. That's a perfect example. Yeah. Yeah.
Kratos,
they
actually
look like
action.
Kratos
means
a good
power
one.
In Greek, so
yeah.
It's a cool name.
He's pretty.
Okay, next question comes from Sean. Sean wants to know if we ever get recognized by fans while out and about in San Francisco. And if so, has there ever been any awkward or strange occurrences as a result? I know you just had one, but I don't know if you want to share it.
So I went to the gynecologist for a standard checkup. Yeah. I'm not going for any special reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so nothing's wrong with me. And I got recognized in the waiting room by a dude that was waiting for his wife.
Wow. And he said something to you?
He was just like, are you Jessica Chobot? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, ah. Kind of weird being here. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Both of us.
Yeah.
And then it was funny because earlier, not that day, but like the day before it in the evening, I actually was coming back from LA to SF and got recognized in security.
Mm.
And so I had the security people stop and shake my hand, and that made like the whole line going like, what?
Yeah,
didn't get me through any faster. Yeah. Yeah. So whatever, but but yeah, it was a little different.
Yeah, I can't say
I've never been.
You know, I don't think we're not out there as much as Jess is.
Yeah.
So maybe if we
not till PAX.
Right, not until PAX, exactly. If we start doing video casts, then maybe that will happen. But yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question comes from Tenny. Tenny wants to know if we could have two games married from any console and have a child, what would the child game
what are these
be like?
Questions?
Oh, and I actually thought about this one when I saw it, so I have mine.
Okay,
I would marry Heavy Rain and BioShock. And I think that the game that they would produce would be BioShock, like a prequel, like before the fall, but played like Heavy Rain, where you would play as Andrew Ryan and Dr. Tenenbaum and Frank Fontaine.
Very good answer.
Yes, I think that would be awesome. 2K, are you listening?
Awesome. I'm not even going to come up with one because that's not going to even remotely compare to what you just busted out.
Well, I was going to say, just because I really think that there's an untapped market here, like say take a Dragon Age and marry it to any of the romance games, which I think are not have not been good, but like then you get like take the parts that everyone, that all you guys keep replaying Dragon Age to do, and like put it in a contemporary setting. I'm just really, really interested to see what like an interactive,
yeah,
actual interactive actual romance novel and set thing, a relationship yeah. sort of thing would be.
They have those in Japan, but they don't really translate well in America. So to have one made by an American team would be interesting.
Yeah.
Or
have BioWare hire some women to write some stories.
BioWare, and like all that sort of stuff. Hire me. Hire me.
Hire Jess.
Please.
You would have some messed up stuff in there. I don't know if I'll play your game.
Or at the very least, at
hot
least
coffee, anybody?
Release a Alistair DLC, because that will go whoop, through the roof. They've got to have that coming out soon. They just got to. Liliana, okay, whatever, but come on, Alistair.
I think that would get a lot of, you know, I know a lot of guys are always like, can't get my wife, girlfriend to get really interested into something. And I think if the game like that came out, I think a lot of women would get really, really sucked in and be like, no, you can't have the system. Yeah, I'm still possibly. Playing this. I don't know.
I think so too.
I think it'd be an interesting experiment.
It would be.
And I would love to see the results, even if it ended up being crap. Yeah.
Okay, next question comes to us from Zezanesh. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that.
I know.
Sure, I probably did. So, again, I don't know if it's male or female. So this person is, says they are 14. God bless you. And has been playing games since they were a toddler. So this person is basically saying it's hard for them to understand what is hardcore and what's not because they've been playing games all their life.
Exactly.
Yes. Yay. That's, hooray.
That's what we want.
Yes.
As an industry, what we want to have happen.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's, as an industry, what everybody's pushing towards.
I think that's about an attitude, not about what games you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know the behavior, not the game.
It's totally the behavior, mm-hmm. not the game. I always support you to play any game that you are happy and makes mm-hmm. you happy to play. And mm-hmm. I do not think it is justified to have the mentality of being the quote-unquote nasty, hardcore gamer mm-hmm. mentality.
Which we've talked about many times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll just avoid it.
Yeah. All right. How are we doing on time?
We're fine.
Okay. So next question comes to us from Eduardo. Eduardo wants to know if any of us have kept any of our older generation consoles. If so, which ones? And what do we do with them once the current gen's over? And how many do we own?
I still have all of mine, my old ones. I have my NES, my SNES, I think in the attic, just because it's so old, it's mm-hmm. up there, yeah. the Atari 2600. I'm going to avoid handhelds and stuff because I didn't really have too mm-hmm. many till recently. And then Dreamcast, which is my limited edition powder blue Hello Kitty Dreamcast, which is still hooked up.
Nice.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. It was hooked up in LA, but when I moved, I left it in the mm-hmm. case. Mm-hmm. And then N64, my PlayStation, my PS2, now my PS3. I had an Xbox that I still have. Like, I got all of my old ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had pretty much everything.
Yeah, I've got most of them, too.
I was going to say, I would think your household would keep them.
Some of them we kind of picked up after the fact. Like, my husband and I, neither of us had, like, an Atari of our own. Mm-hmm. So he went and bought one, which is really funny to play on an HDTV, by the way. You should give it a try.
I wouldn't even have thought of that. Yeah.
So yeah, and the only other one that I don't have is
those lines in Pong are so sharp.
Yeah. the original Game Boy, which was shared mm. between myself and my siblings, and I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah. I purge as I go. I have, and I have not been accumulating systems as long as the rest of you, but I have gotten rid of a Dreamcast and a GameCube and an Xbox. I still have my PS2. Because my PS3 is not backwards compatible. I hate it that they took that out.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if they had, I would have gotten rid of that too.
Yeah, I still have my Vectrex, which was shared amongst my mm-hmm. siblings, but I grabbed. And I still play that. And what else? We have NES, mm-hmm. SNES. At least my husband does. I don't. N64. You know, the funny thing is we never got a Dreamcast. Because, like,
really?
My husband was putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and then finally it was like...
And then they went out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not making this anymore, so we're like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then a PS1, GameCube, and I've had all of the GBAs.
I did have a GameCube, but I wrecked it.
Did you throw it?
Physically broke it.
Did you throw it?
Kinda.
It had that nice handle on. It made it really easy to fling. Mm-hmm.
I broke a GameCube controller, but not mm-hmm. the system.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave mine away.
I have, this is Megan speaking. I still have my PlayStation 2 so I can play PS1 games like Vagrant Story. But in a family with a lot of very competitive siblings, we went through systems quickly. There was a lot of control spiking and game console kicking and punching and throwing. And so, I mean, our PlayStation 1, I remember I could never play Final Fantasy VII straight through because the disc would skip, not because there was something wrong with the disc, but the console was already broken by the time my younger brother and I were, you know, getting into fist fights and we weren't kicking each other or kicking the console, you know, and like games like fighting games and stuff like that. So we kind of had to get rid of them out of necessity because they didn't work after being thrown and kicked and punched.
Yeah.
So I just have my PlayStation 2. And for handhelds, I used to have Game Boy Color, and I finally gave that away because I only had one game, which was Dragon Warrior 3. And I was like, you know, I should probably get rid of this thing. There it is.
All right. Next question comes to us from Liam. Liam wants to know who we would put in our League of Video Game characters, you know, kind of like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So who would be our team of awesome video game characters?
So do we have to do something with them? Do we have to go fight or something? No, they're just people that we like.
I'm going
to
say Alistair, obviously. Mm-hmm. My version of Shepard from Mass Effect, because I love her. Yeah.
You're like, that's it?
I would have Kratos, Alistair. Mm-hmm.
I would have Nathan Drake.
I'll toss Nathan Drake into the mix.
Mm-hmm. I would do Kratos. I would do Noriko from Heavenly Sword. I thought they should be together. Alistair, my hero, Yuna from Dragon Age. And I was going to have one other, like, random thing.
I would have a pea shooter from Plants vs. Zombies. Or maybe one of the zombies.
Well,
the zombies would be good.
Cute.
I would have Big Daddy.
Zombies can turn on you.
Yeah, I know, but
You can't control zombies. Don't try. That's how disasters.
Nathan will save me.
That's how disasters happen.
Yeah. Alrighty. So next question comes to us from Matthew. Matthew wants to know: have any of us ever neglected our significant other or family/kids because of a game?
Yes.
Have you ever gone? I don't know if anybody wants to answer this one, but I'm going to ask it anyhow.
Okay.
Have you ever gone as far as turning down sex because you were so engrossed in a video game?
Yes. Yes. I got my divorce partly occurred because of my upset, partly very small amount, but it was brought up in conversation about me playing World of Warcraft.
There you go.
And staying up too late and not paying attention to others. Of which I said, that's why we're divorced. Because you've become a shackle around my neck.
Nice. You are keeping me from leveling up. Hi, you, my guild needs
are
me.
You're dragging my leveling up scores badly. I still don't have my mount.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer the second one, but
I'm not going to mount you until I get my mount.
Wow. I was waiting for you to make that joke.
I'm like, wow, it took me a while. I'm on meds. That's all I need. It took me a while.
I actually got in trouble for that because people were mad. They're like, hey, you know what? It's a video game. You're supposed to be spending your time with your family.
We flew 8 hours just to see you.
Exactly.
You can't even talk to us at dinner.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, yeah, but the game, it is like, put the game down. So I do remember that.
I've definitely had my moments where I can see my husband's getting annoyed, where he's like, come on. But I don't do that very often.
Right.
It's pretty infrequently that
I would forgive, on the opposite side, I would forgive you if I was your husband. I would forgive you more for playing a game and ignoring me than being like on your BlackBerry and ignoring me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I do that some too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or watching
TV. Weird.
Yeah. You're still not paying attention to that person.
Well, and I do that. Yeah, I do it reading. I mean, I do it in a number of things where he'll be talking and I'm like, why are you trying to talk to me? Well, you can see that I have a book here in front of my eyes or whatever.
Too. Yeah.
And then I'll go, huh? And then he'll be like,
On the flip side of that, totally agree. That is the most annoying thing. I do not understand. I do not understand why, if it's obvious you are already doing something and that they are interrupting you.
Yeah.
You know, not that you're just ignoring them. They came into the room and now they decided they want to have this deep conversation. Why people do that? It's part like cats that sit on your book when you're trying to read.
Yeah. Part of the problem is that he himself very, very, he's not a big reader and he very infrequently gets like really hooked into a book. So I don't think he just doesn't understand
Yeah, being I there. Guess it could be the same thing with yeah. my husband as well. I mean, he always, like, I read before bed. Mm-hmm. So typically, you know, well, mm-hmm. he's been working really late
right.
lately. Right. So he comes home and I'm already in bed reading mm-hmm. or whatever. And he, like, Oliver, what are you reading? Yeah. Just like...
A book.
Like, you know, I regret that you're not here as much as mm-hmm. you want to be, but this is my reading time. So, yeah.
Yep.
How are we doing?
We can do one more.
Okay. So this last question comes to us from Scott. Scott says he finds console gamers to be extremely immature, but he thinks that PC gamers are more mature in general and wants to know if we have any thoughts as to why this is and if the console market will ever mature.
Okay, I'm sorry, this, what games this, are you
this,
playing
No,
on PC?
This totally cracks me up because this reminds me of, because I worked in Computer Gaming World and it seems so like a 10-year ago thing. I don't know, I don't distinguish yeah. between... Like, to me, it's just, like, people who enjoy playing games, like, the platform doesn't make any... I don't know. Right. I kind of feel like, no offense to this person who is writing in, it's a very grognardy sort of opinion to have. It's a very, very grognardy
like
sort of opinion.
Word. A what?
Grognard. Well. Like, grognard is, I always think... So, CGW, way back in its day, like, it was a bunch of guys... who are all very nice people, but like they would run like pictures with all the columns, and I swear there were a few years there when everyone in there had a big gray beard and they all wore these circle necks. And that is the, when I hear something like that, that's just the vision I get in my head. And there was very much a, oh, you kids and your console games and real yeah. gamers play. And it's just,
well,
it drives
I mean,
me kind of crazy.
You know, we just had that study not too long ago that actually said that PC gamers are on average like 10 years older than console
Maybe because
gamers. So that could be.
That was really the first platform in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, maybe because it's the first yes. platform. I Adults know. Are more familiar with computers
yeah.
versus
yeah.
consoles, since computers were around
right.
sort of around yeah. first, or at least more popular first. Yeah. And that they're such an expensive buy right out the door, like a couple
yeah.
grand, mm-hmm. versus like, not saying $600 for a
right.
PS3 is cheap, but
right.
they
don't
know,
cost $600 anymore.
Not
well,
anymore.
But yeah, when
that
first came out. Yeah.
You know, like,
you're right. It
right
costs
out
more.
Door, to... It costs more, and adults usually have that kind of money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I don't know.
And then use it for work and stuff. But yeah. I'm not saying that I do either. But, you know, some adults.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, just with, you know, like we've been saying forever, that once more people get into gaming, then the console market will
yeah.
will mature.
Yeah,
there will be less people who tolerate the 14-year-old idiots that hang out on Xbox
No offense
Live.
To the 14-year-olds.
Yeah, no offense
either.
To the 14-year-olds.
Yeah, if you're mature.
Yeah, so.
And I really don't, what was the name of the person who wrote in?
Scott.
Scott, I really don't mean any offense. And yeah. So, sorry, I'm not trying to be insulting when I was saying that.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks so much for listening. As always, you can send questions, comments, and feedback to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com.
And fan art.
And fan art, right.
We've got a whole wall
yeah.
going.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe I should
ours
take
is
a
still
picture
the best,
of this.
By
Hold
the
on.
Way.
I'm going to take a photo really fast. Dana,
yeah.
move your head.
And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe on iTunes and review us if you like what you're hearing as well. And
remind everyone about PAX.
Oh, right, PAX. That was an announcement that I forgot to write down. We will be at PAX, and all five of us will be
Woo!
There.
Yay!
We have triumphed by pulling travel budgets from multiple different places in the company. So we will all be there. Right now our panel is tentatively scheduled for Friday night at 8 o'clock.
I think
it's 8 o'clock in the Serpent Theater. But you know, check the PAX website for that. And I do have confirmation from our PR person that there will be some sort of meet and greet thing happening with the IGN folks up there. So stay tuned for that.
All right.
And thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.